Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's guests are DJ Lavoie, director of HUD's REACT, and deputy director Barbara Burkhalter. Joining me is Barry Dennis, also a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers. You spent some time so far talking about the data you collect and the analysis you do, and I'm just curious, looking out, what do you think the potential uses and additional analysis are for such information, both within, say, HUD and other organizations as well?
Let me just take a stab at that first and then defer to the rest of the table here, because I know there's going to be a lot of good opinions on this, because it's really what the future of the government is about, I believe, as I have seen just in our own experiences and the things that the current administration is heading toward. Having the responsibility to the citizens of the country, if you will, to account for the dollars that, in fact, are provided by whatever means, is an awesome responsibility, and it's one that is a lot of times not really understood by even government employees in terms of what you really do with your dollars and where they go. And then the recipients, on the other hand, are expecting services. And in this case, as you know, the mission of HUD is to provide housing. And it is traditionally to that lower one-third of our social stratum that need that hand up, that first start, that FHA starter house, the public housing for those that are going to transition into our economy, et cetera. Being able to actually do good risk analysis so that we can look at those providers that are doing what we are requiring of them as a government agency has been something that has been elusive at best in the past. Our data, we believe and know already, just by virtue to be able to do projections and risk analysis, trend analysis, etc., we know that we can tell you that of all the properties we've inspected, as an example, 85% of those 6 million units are in good shape. Another 10% are in need of very immediate repair, and a 5% are in desperate shape. And in fact, probably the individuals managing them don't need to be in the business with the government any longer, and the residents there certainly need to have their lives amended quickly so that their standard of living can be better. I think, in short, the future is that credible government is based upon having good information so that good decisions be made by government and that we can provide the services that we, in fact, are responsible for providing that the Congress intends and provides the funds for.
I guess I was thinking about some specifics that our data could be used for, and we're not yet ready to do it. But as soon as our data is fully collected, particularly working with Barry on some of the work that he's done with us, we've been trying to predict defaults, for example, on certain loans with good data and with correlations. We can maybe do some things like that as opposed to reacting after the fact. Can we be on the front end of business decisions? The same with income verification. Our families have to pay rent based on their income. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to report on the front end whether someone was eligible before they get into the program and then have to evict them or collect back rents from them? So to the extent we can use our data up front because we have good predictive early warning systems, I think that would be really valuable to the government and to the taxpayers.
You know, you're collecting large amounts of data that HUD has never had before, allowing HUD to do a much better job in a number of ways than they've been able to do in the past. But a lot of this data has also never been available to private sector. Do you see applications, uses for the data in the private sector as well as in the government?
Without question. And, of course, we have to be very careful of the data, and we want to make sure that, you know, all the particular applicable laws are applied in terms of privacy, et cetera. And Barbara touched upon one that really points it out, of income verification. There are 6 million families living in HUD housing, and those people are deemed eligible by a congressional formula, if you will. And one of the things that's been problematic in the past is us being able to determine on the front end that they are eligible and that they're paying the right rent. So we want to make sure that when we use the information provided to us by the Internal Revenue Service and the Social Security Administration, we're protecting the rights of the individuals and getting to that endpoint. Now, that's kind of a round circle to which your question is, where does the future show? As I said in an earlier comment, working with three agencies already, they are looking at these same models of taking data and using it to be proactive in making sure that we are accomplishing the intent of the Congress. And from the business perspective, e-commerce side, the private sector, we are in frequent conversation with the lender industry, with the mortgage bankers, with the inspection industry, with the appraisal industry, because for the first time, we have put electronic inspections together, and now the entire industry is going that direction and using our model, unique for government, but it's good for HUD, and I think to show that we are a benchmark organization. The appraisal industry, we're getting ready to go the same direction, where we're going to be developing an electronic appraisal that will be then used in value estimations and conditions of the property and going the same direction with it. So there's a lot of future to this, and it's once again collecting data in an effective way so that we can utilize it.
We have lots of claims on our data. Everybody wants it, and we have to constantly balance that with Privacy Act issues as well as just pre-decisional. Not everything is releasable as raw data until it's been through all the process for follow-up, refinement, quality assurance. We don't just release raw data to the public or even to our, you know, our partners.
In an earlier segment, we talked about REACT being an e-business. Seems to me everybody would say one day all of government will be an e-business, but I'm curious from your perspective, what are the special challenges the government faces in this area?
Many. The ability to exchange information and, more importantly, to provide to the public that information in a timely basis so that, and let's just use what happens with the IRS right now with filing taxes. The IRS has seen tripling of the amount of people electronically filing. What does that mean? That means that our country is becoming much more e-commerce aware. And look at our ability to share with a reporting entity the results of their financial physical analysis, giving them the remedy electronically, and then in a real-time fashion being able to monitor that. It portends much more efficiency. It portends better communication. It portends a government that is truly responsive to what, you know, individual taxpayers and regulated people and entities are expecting from government.
How about the special challenges, say, government managers?
I think the special challenges with anything electronic is technical support.
Amen.
You know, we all have really lofty ideas. In fact, we haven't even tapped some of the things that we want to do. We have backlogs of ideas. But what's holding us back pretty much is the technical support and the infrastructure and then attitude toward making technology efficient, fast, and user-friendly, easy. It has to be easy for the users on all ends to get at it and reliable. If it's not reliable, I think we're going to have more problems than we need. So we're held back at the moment from all the things we want to do by the technical support that we need to keep it moving.
Well, if it's challenging to get good employees, it's even more challenging to get good technology employees. So I'm curious, you know, how do you get around that, or what special challenges that pose to the government?
Well, you know, we advertise in the Wall Street Journal. I mean, we do the best we can to hire and tempt people to come. I think we have to be more innovative, though, just like everybody, and perhaps even provide our own training. I mean, we might have to train and grow some of our own people in that area.
We do face challenges, just like everybody. I mean, you know, the fastest growing segment, I think, in the job market is probably people who are technologically proficient and have, you know, people skills. That's quite a combination. We have been very fortunate in that we have acquired, as part of our team, some key individuals who bring that to the table. But, you know, in the end, most people will tell you, and I think most studies will carry out, that it's not so much the dollar that an individual receives, because the private sector can reward more in terms of dollars. I think the big thing that brings everybody and keeps them there is job satisfaction. And as I think you can tell by our tone, is that the REAC is about job satisfaction. The environment, the way that we treat people, the way that we team build, and it really pays off for us because we have a lot of individuals who give us 110%, are always there and provide incredibly good advice, and their credibility in the industry is such that it gives us a very strong position.
Great, and I'm afraid we're out of time, so I want to thank you very much, DJ and Barbara, for joining us. Barry and I have very much enjoyed our conversation. This has been the Business of Government Hour, Conversations with Government Leaders. To learn more about the Endowment's programs and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com.